I'm focusing on the psalm today, Psalm 139, not because it's easier to preach on the psalm than today's gospel reading, although most would probably say it would be, but because Jesus' words as recorded in Luke make more sense if we understand the theology of the psalm. Psalm 139 has long been a favorite of mine personally and in my ministry with others. In fact, I like it so much I'd like to look at it again with you right now, reading the verses. In fact, I invite you maybe to just close your eyes if you'd like and hear the words chosen for today. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. For you yourself created my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. You fashioned them day by day when as yet there was none of them. How deep I find your thoughts, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. In my parish ministry, I've recommended this psalm to church members for their personal prayers and reflections, but perhaps I've used it even more often in my work as a spiritual director and a retreat leader. I'm glad to have this opportunity to reflect with you, so many at once, on Psalm 139. The psalm proclaims that God created you, that you are marvelously made, and that God has been with you all your life, searching you out, knowing you. The ministry of a spiritual director is based on the core belief that God is already at work in everyone's life, in your life, and that God loves you and wants what's best for you. God is always the primary director, and with God as our director, we can discern our way forward in the world, growing in our trust and love of God. This is, of course, the same belief or set of beliefs that I bring to all of my work as a priest in parish ministry and as a spiritual director. But it seems often in direction or in retreat work, people come with an intentionality in that moment. You know, it's so clear, seeking to know God, seeking to focus in that way. And I would put to you today that that's why we are here also, that that's what Sunday morning is really about. I view Sunday as a mini retreat, as a time for group spiritual direction. Through me, through all of us together, hearing the Spirit speak and reflecting that to each other, the way we love each other and care for each other. Again from Psalm 139, Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. To know such things about God and one's relationship with God causes the psalmist to say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Wonderful. Is it wonderful? I've always thought so. But of course, I've never gone to a church that preaches a vengeful God. I became a Christian through God's grace as an adult, having had an experience of God's love that changed my life forever. And then I entered directly into the Episcopal Church. So I never went to a church that scared me. But many people have. Many have. Many have been exposed to a version of Christianity that caused them to feel bad about themselves and scared of God for many different reasons. And none of it was true. None of it. But that image of God as angry and punishing, once that gets into the mind of an innocent, trusting child or adult, it is not easy to let go of that image, not easy to find healing. For such a person so taught, hearing that God is acquainted with all of his or her ways might not be good news. This is one of the biggest reasons that our neighbors who don't go to church don't go to church. This is one of the biggest reasons. They don't really know anything about what we believe. They've heard this, that they weren't good enough for whatever reason. This is, of course, one of the really important reasons we go to Pride Fest, to be with people who've been told that so many times in their lives. But wait a minute, you might say, isn't there a lot in the Bible about judging? Isn't there that bit about separating the sheep from the goats? You know, right? There's a book written entitled Good Goats. I love that title. Good Goats, Healing Our Image of God. And it's written by the trio, the Lens, Matthew, Sheila, and David. I mentioned one of their books in one of my first sermons here, Sleeping with Bread. This is another one of theirs, Good Goats, Healing Our Image of God, in which they deal with this problem of us giving God a poor self-image, if you will, which results in us having a poor self-image in relation to this punishing, vengeful, judging God we have created or was created for us. This excellent, readable, not very long book, it does not avoid all the difficult topics around this issue, and I recommend it to you for their complete teaching, but to summarize their message. God is loving and healing. None of us are perfect, but we are at our core good, having been made by God in God's own image. Can you hear that today? Can you hear that you have been made in God's own image, essentially good? This idea challenges the entire theology of original sin, the way many people were taught, and instead brings forward what Matthew Fox became famous for, that idea of original blessing, that you are a blessing, that you are created in God's image for the world. It's very different than what a lot of people have been taught. You know, we talk about seeing Christ in others. Can we see Christ in ourselves? And again, from Psalm 139, you created my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful and I know it well. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. So let's review. Okay, this is so important. Let's review. God created us. We are wonderful. You are wonderful. God desires to be with us and is with us in all of our journeys. God is close. God is caring. We cannot know the depth of God, of God's thoughts, as the psalmist says, but it's okay. God is beyond our understanding, but that's okay. Rather than that being a problem or something of which to be afraid, the psalmist is overwhelmed with joy that God, who is so wonderful, has regard, great regard for one who is mortal. So when you pray with this psalm, and I do suggest that, to pray with it, listen to the words as you read them to yourself. What gets your attention? What about your journey, your resting places, has been important? How do you see God in that? Have you seen God? Maybe this is a chance to invite God, the Holy Spirit, with us always, with you in that prayer, to show you something of God's great love for you in your life. The caring of God. It doesn't mean everything goes well all the time. We certainly know that. But that ultimately all shall be well in God, in God's time. Everything, I believe, is better understood when our image of God is clear, when we are able to trust in God's love and care for us. Having found some healing or having begun this process, let us now look at the gospel reading. In Good Goats, the Lens talk about the use of hyperbole in the Bible to make a point and get our attention. Family was everything in Jesus' time. To call into question loyalty to the family was a strong way to remind people that everyone's primary loyalty is indeed to God. Now that Jesus has your attention, we hear that well-known admonition to take up the cross. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. That can sound so harsh. But your cross, my cross, the cross, it's already there. The thing or situation that upsets you, causes you to feel powerless, angry, burdened, sad, or scared, it's already there. If we don't pick it up, we're going to trip over it. Ignoring it won't help. So really, this is an invitation to what we know we need to do. Pick it up. Get real about it. And then we follow. Do you hear that word of connection? We don't go it alone, but we move forward in relationship with Christ, with God who loves you, created you, knows you, and is your Savior. God of Psalm 139. We need to be reminded of God's love and care for us in this way in the midst of our life circumstances. We need to connect with God in a way that informs our daily life and helps us daily. This is one reason why it's so important to come here to church every week. There's really a reason, right, why this developed like this. There's an actual reason. We need it. We need each other. We need to experience God in this way. To feel that love, that connection, that knowledge of God with us. And it's also one of the reasons people go on retreats. I'll be leading the program part of our parish retreat, as we heard earlier in the announcements, at Shrinemont at the end of October. And the title of what I'm going to offer is called Deepening Relationship with God. I hope to do some teaching and offer you aids to prayer and suggestions that will support you in your personal journey with God. Just this past Friday, I went on a short retreat at Richmond Hill, the Ecumenical Retreat Center on Church Hill, a great gift to us who live close to this place. The retreat I attended is called First Fridays and is led by Mimi Weaver, who is a spiritual director and a life coach. The first Friday of every month, Mimi leads this retreat day, and she gives us lots of time for our own personal prayer and silence. For those who might not be able to go on a week-long retreat or a full weekend retreat, perhaps one Friday you could spend a day at Richmond Hill. And if you work, I'm sorry if you have to work every day of the week, as many do, perhaps you could spend a Saturday there on a personal retreat. They allow for that as well. And they can provide a spiritual director with whom you can meet if you're there at that time. It takes some rethinking time and how we use time for many people to go on a retreat because we want to get a lot done. We've got a lot to do. But retreat time, just like Sunday morning time, I guarantee you will give you the sense of having more time in your life during the week. I'm always saddened when people say, I just couldn't come to church this week. I just didn't have time. it'll help. It helps, and so do retreats. Time well spent. This past Friday, there were over 20 of us there on that retreat. And one of the things Mimi did, she gave us a handout that fits so well with my reflection on Psalm 139. And when things just come together like that, you think, wow. When we know God and trust God and know ourselves to be God's marvelous creation, we can be in the world in a way that is creative and spirit-filled and not hurried. As co-creators with God in this great adventure we call life. And the reading that Mimi gave us is from Joyce Rumpf, a Roman Catholic nun, and she reflects using this metaphor of music, which is so appropriate for us here. The music of divine love plays uniquely in each person's life. Through individual personalities and personal life events, the goodness of God takes on a melody all its own. The song of God needs an instrument to give it shape and voice. A piano is just a row of keys until someone touches them into life. A violin remains a mute stringed instrument until someone picks it up and touches the strings with songs. We are all called to be instruments through which the melody of God takes shape. Through our lives, God's love seeks to dance. God's love seeks to dance and make music for the world. Amen.